you know, the paintings that I have here was, I was just inspired to paint them in my home in Montgomery. But then I fixed the place here, and my mother and father left my husband and me this property up here, the home that they had built. Well, it was under bad repair because they had lived here all a lifetime, and so I took the house and reworked it throughout, upstairs, downstairs, and basement. Everything I redone. But in the meantime, talking about the paintings, I would try to redo the house for my mother and father so that they had various people who would come and visit them on business deals. So I muraled in their living room. I muraled the wall. It's typical Southern. I have the carriages and the horses and the homes with the nice, beautiful columns. And so I was inspired to put that up there. And while I was redoing the house over for my mother and father and repainting the inside, well, I decided I'd like to put a painting on that wall. And I was inspired to do so. And so it's 12-foot ceiling. So my father had built me a scaffold, and I was up there on that scaffold and decided what I wanted to do with that wall to paint those. I have, you know, typical Southern homes way up in the high part of it with lakes and all that sort of thing, and then down below, and of course I have barns and that sort of thing go with it, and I have the horse and carriages and lakes and beautiful things that make up a painting like that. So that whole wall is fixed like that. And so that was there, and I have kept it because I didn't think it was due to do away with it. I had spent too much hard work on it. But then I let that go like that. Of course, in the back entrance, I fixed another wall that was sort of a scenic light. Somehow I have never finished it. It's still in the making, needs a lot of work done on it, but I have never done it. But anyway, my mother and father left me this home, and I have reworked it throughout, upstairs, downstairs, in the basement. And of course, it's a rather historical spot because I've had feature stories, ladies from Birmingham even to come here and they'll write feature stories on this place. And I just tell them that I can't do that because I have to live here and I don't care to give so much out about it. And so I don't do it. I haven't done it. And I'm like, Annie, not even a guest in time. Like feature stories, they wanted to do it, but I don't do it because I have to live here and I don't want people to miss my death. So, my husband, of course, he was taken ill and he couldn't do anything. He had to give up all his work and just to get to live. So I took care of him and kept him when they told me I just couldn't live, and I kept him 18 years by just figuring out ways to take care of him. And sometimes the doctor would even question me as to what I was doing because they gave me credit, actually, for his long 18 years of life when they said he was good here. So we went through all that, and of course the place here, I didn't know about him, whether or not he would like to live up here. But that's my father and mother left because we had our home in Montgomery and it was a comfortable barn. And of course, he had more or less his way of life in there. And our church that we had spent so many years in. And it was hard for us to give all of our friends that we had up down there and come back here and live. But he seemed to really accept and was happy up here. we went to church. We started going to church at Mount Olive Baptist Church, and he got pretty much involved. The preacher loved him, and they just had a good time together. And the preacher would spend a lot of time with him, and he did several nice little things over there at the church that are living on now. He liked to do things like that as much as he was able to do. He couldn't go very far, but he believed in people hiding their money. He didn't think they ought to keep their money. And one Sunday he got up over that Mount Olive Church and told them, he said, you know, people over here are not tithing, because if they were, that board over there looked different. So that seemed to influence the people, and the board went up next Sunday. There's more money given to the church. So he did plant some real good seed in him. He was one of the deacons over there. And the preacher loved him and would love to spend time with him. The men would come over and sit with him and talk with him. He wasn't able to do a lot of activities, his heart condition and all the things that he suffered interfered with his capable thinking. He couldn't think like he did after the illness. But I always got enough out of him to take care of things. Not as good as he did. I couldn't do that because I wasn't capable. But he did help me to be able to take care of things. And I've been able to survive since he died. He's been dead. He died February the 28th day of February in 1989. And I've, of course, I haven't been still since he died. I had a car wreck, and I had to have hip surgery, and then here I am burned, and I'm having to get over that, so I've had a few difficulties since his death, and it seems like I'm being able to, with the Lord's help, to come out of it. And I think that's something great to think about. And I have this beautiful time with my mother and father's project that they worked up, known as Kimmerendine. I get telephone calls from all over the United States wanting Kimmerendine, and I ship it to them. I've got a lot of nursing homes, and I have a lot of pharmacists in Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama. So it's been a great, great project for me. I've been able to talk to such lovely people throughout the United States. They'll call me, and it's never been advertised. It just started on its own reputation for what it does, and the stuff in humanity. I just keep the laboratory going. I have a beautiful two helpers. I have a beautiful little lady that helps me, and she's been with me 8 years, and I have a wonderful young man he's a college graduate, and he has his degree in accounting, and he does my yard, and he puts me in water systems, and just whatever I need doing, he helps me in the lab, and if I need him in my book work, well, he sits down, helps me in that. He's been with me 12 years, and I just think I'm real fortunate to have such wonderful, lovely young people to help me, and I can depend on them. Whatever I won't learn, I just tell them, and they do it. So since my difficulties, they have been overly good to me, and I still praise the Lord for that. And the people at the church is real good to me. All my difficulties were basic to me. In fact, this morning they came over, and we had the Sunday school lesson on the roof, which was a beautiful thing, and we spent the Sunday going. Is it time to go?
No, I was just going to see. Another question I've got is, tell me a little bit about life in Alabama as it was.
The thing about life in Alabama, I might jump around like that. life in Alabama has quite changed. You might say from my young days, we had the tea model automobiles, and of course we had we had lovely people come from our church here. I didn't tell about our missionaries in that room. But anyway, we had lovely Christian people that would come to our church and teach classes, and in that way I met and was friends the rest of our lives with lovely ladies that came to our church. Some of them were beautiful singers and some pianists and some of them teachers and all like that, and we remained friends, and some of them have died and left me, but nevertheless their memories live on in my heart. And that all came about right here in Alabama.